Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have another great show. We got a studio full here today. Later in the program, we'll be talking with Peggy Riley and Angela Watt, licensed counselors and directors of the Sage Center. We'll also be talking with Kelly Redinger, realtor, and Rusty Willis, broker at Real Living Capital City. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Rebecca Harrell, the regional vice president and no stranger to the Business Radio mic from Randstad, USA.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be back.
So tell me a little bit about Randstad. For people that don't know, the really small company.
We are very small. No, we are actually the third largest staffing company in the U.S. We put an average of 100,000 people to work every week. So, you know, the great thing is we are proud to call Atlanta our home. Our U.S. headquarters are based right off of in Cobb County, right off of Cumberland Boulevard.
Well, you put more people to work in a week than a lot of these staffing companies do in a year, so that's
yes,
huge right there.
Yes, yes, great company.
So what's happening in the Atlanta job market? Are things getting better? I know everyone's moving to Atlanta. We've got the new startup scene, so a bunch of companies are being created. We have a bunch of big companies moving to Atlanta, so what's this whole ecostructure looking like?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We have seen, you know, the unemployment rate was a little flat. It was about 7% last month, but it was actually lower than last year. We were at 8.3% in April 2013. So we are still a little bit higher than the national unemployment rate of 6.3%. The good thing is the number of jobs have increased for Georgia. We were up about 1% from March to April, and most of those job gains actually came from leisure in the hospitality sector.
Really?
Yes. So I was listening to our Georgia Labor Commissioner, Mark Butler, and he was sharing that, you know, we have a very strong job growth in April as our employers have created around 41,000 new jobs, which is the largest from the March to April increase since 2005. So definitely we're seeing job seekers are entering the market and getting hired.
So what other industries are really hiring right now here in Atlanta?
Yeah, so, you know, we, of course, my focus is our office and administrative type positions, but we are seeing, you know, a lot of industry growth in manufacturing, in our office and admin, in our IT, in our engineering, and, of course, in healthcare.
Okay. What about like technology? I know I always hear that special number. I think there's four jobs for every technological savvy person. Is that still holding true, or are those starting to fill up?
Yes, we are still seeing a growing demand for technical talent. You know, I think one of the things that workers in IT are still feeling confident about their job prospects. You know, technology companies are still strong employers, you know, if the candidates have the right skill set. And that's really exciting to see because technology is seeping through every sector, you know, and it's most critical for every industry.
So why do you think leisure and hospitality in Atlanta, why do you think that's booming right now? Because I know it took a hit during 7 years ago. It took a big hit. A lot of restaurants shut down and everything. A lot of different hospitality places shut down. Why do you think it's booming up right now?
I think, again, it's just the labor force. You know, I think a lot of people are coming into the Atlanta market, and we are seeing that steady growth. And, you know, I think, again, part of what we find for Atlanta is, you know, even for job postings, we are seeing more, you know, in many openings over the past year than we've ever seen, especially, you know, from some of the job boards and even our local Randstad.
Definitely. And also, we have these bigger companies coming in, and we're starting to have acquisitions. I know VMware just bought out AirWatch. Mm-hmm. You have State Farm. I think they're building a huge new thing for their headquarters here. So why do you think people are coming to Atlanta and people want to build up companies or bring companies here to Atlanta? Because I know that's bringing a lot of jobs.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, part of what we see is the employee confidence, because that's really big from, you know, engaging our workers, making sure we're seeing that our, you know, business are feeling more confident about, you know, what we're seeing in Atlanta. And actually, it was interesting, you know, office leasing has gone up in Atlanta thanks to a strengthening, you know, job market.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that Atlanta's economy has created jobs, you know, we're expected to make a full recovery on jobs based on
really
some of the statistics and data we've seen. So, you know, the fact that we're holding steady and, you know, we're seeing that growth, I think that's making the big difference.
Does employee perception factor into this at all for how they see the whole job market? Does that affect affect it?
Absolutely. You know, so I think, you know, part of what, you know, actually we do a U.S. Employee Confidence Index survey, and it goes out quarterly and monthly through the U.S. And, you know, overall it's holding steady. So workers are, you know, I think equally split when it comes to, you know, how the overall strength of the economy. So we're seeing about a third saying, you know, we're staying the same. A third is saying it's getting stronger. And a third is saying the economy is going to be weaker. So, you know, slight, you know, overall holding steady.
Okay. So do these employees think that they can just go jump into another job? Do they have to get a new skill set? What's going on? Because I know a lot of the jobs being created right now, I mean, there's like social media directors, things that you can't go to school for. And it's Twitter, and it's like the Wild West in some job markets that are opening up and applying more for jobs.
Yeah, great insight. So skills gap, you know, I think, again, how it is affecting our job market. And, you know, that's interesting, the root of the skills gap, there are a lot of jobs that are going unfilled. And, you know, part of that is the unemployed are ill-prepared and inadequately trained for. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, we have seen the skills gap, especially on IT, engineering, healthcare, but more recently with that skills trade is that manufacturing and logistics and the finance and accounting space. So I think this is a huge opportunity for businesses, for schools, for job seekers, you know, to, you know, take a look at it, make sure the time is now. We've got to look at some awareness because there is a huge skills gap there.
Definitely. Are employers putting more time and effort to retaining their employees? Because I know whenever there's a boom in the job market, people, if they're dissatisfied, they're more likely to go out in there and find a better job. So are you seeing any of that in the market?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that, you know, our big focus, of course, you know, for you know, what we've seen, of course, is how to engage your employees. You know, what's important, you know, especially to engage them to increase, you know, productivity or maintain, you know, productivity. And because the economy is on the amend, you know, that leaders need to be thinking about that. They need to be paying attention to that. They need to be retaining, as you shared, the right people that can improve our overall performance and sustainability. Employers must invest. You know, they must invest in their people, their programs, incentives, attitude to improve employee morale and engagement. You know, I think, again, part of what you have to not always look at additional resources from a financial side. Of course, bonuses are nice, and typically they're tied to individual productivity. But the one thing is, you know, is there's low-cost benefits that employees truly can feel value. Workplace flexibility, job shadowing on or in-house training opportunities are very low-cost to companies. So I think engaged leaders need to really can kind of create engaged employees. And if they're walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, they can reinforce that belief in their company and their mission.
Are you guys doing anything over there to sort of engage or to teach these companies? Is there any kind of learning you do to teach companies about these engagement strategies?
Well, we definitely work with and we provide a lot of insight into companies. So if you go out to our Randstad website, Workforce 360, it will give you some great insight into some things that we've seen in the market.
So what's the 2014 outlook look for you guys? What's your world domination plan? What are you guys doing out there in the workforce?
You know, I think, again, you know, the exciting thing is, you know, Randstad was awarded Best Place to Work in the Atlanta Journal
Can't
this
beat that
year.
One, right?
But, you know, part of what, you know, what we do is we look at practicality. So Randstad, of course, you know, we place and work with companies placing temporary, temp to hire, so project-based work, as well as permanent employees. So, you know, that's exciting to see where companies are coming in and growing and adding more jobs. But also we work with a lot of our clients to make sure they understand what the employee engagement piece is and how to retain those top talent.
So you're making it sort of a win-win for both people, the people that you're placing, and you're also making the workplace better for them as well.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. You know, the one thing that we want to make sure is we find the best match, both for our clients and both for our talent.
Well, I'm not surprised you guys are the best place to work in Atlanta. So
we are.
You guys know it the best, so your employees should probably get carte blanche.
Yeah, you know, and I think, again, part of what, you know, we have strong engagement strategies, and this would be, you know, recommendation, you know, or practical ways for companies to improve their strategy is, you know, we really, you have to establish a clear vision. You know, you have to understand what the strategy and direction for your company. You know, you've got to motivate and you got to inspire your people. You know, you got to align those actions. You got to live it. You know, what matters most to them? You got to lead by example. You know, you got to support their well-being and you got to be visible role models. So I think that makes such a difference.
What are you guys looking more for? Are you guys looking for more companies to staff? Do you want more eager and people that want to be employed? Or
both.
Both?
Yeah, we're always looking, of course, for strong people in the market, you know, that always, you know, are looking either to find the next best opportunity for them or, you know, work some type of project work so they can, you know, have some flexibility to their schedule.
So walk me through just a customer engagement. I come to you, I want a job, and how does that process work? You guys make it nice and easy?
We do. So, you know, one of the things that the great thing about Ronstadt, of course, with our website at ronstadtstaffing.com, you know, you can go out there and look at different information. So for our job seekers, you can kind of create a profile for us. So we do all of our applications online. And once we understand kind of what you're looking for, we bring you in, we meet with you. We want to understand what's going to be best for you.
Definitely.
And then, of course, with our clients, we, as I mentioned earlier, having that best match. So we're understanding kind of what their needs are, what their specific things they need to, you know, be successful in that particular role that they're trying to hire for. And we really work with them. So, you know, we're always looking, of course, for more companies, but definitely great talent, great people.
Definitely. So where all are you guys located? You're in the whole United States. Are you guys internationally as
we
well?
We are. So, you know, of course, you know, for Atlanta, we have 26 offices around the Atlanta market and of course, everywhere else. So if you go out to us.ronstadt.com, you can see all the offices around.
So you guys have professionals in every market, and you guys understand all these different professions really well, so you know how to staff them perfectly, right?
Yeah, I think one of the things that makes us very unique is the fact that we are very niche to our market, so we become subject matter experts. So as I shared, you know, my side is the office and administrative type positions, but we also have, of course, our finance and accounting, our professional team, sales and marketing, you know, Ronstadt Engineering, Ronstadt IT. So there's a lot of great, and of course, Ronstadt Manufacturing as well. So we really try to know our business and know our customers.
Well, I find that really interesting. I mean, you're such a big company, but you give that very small business kind of attention to each one of these companies, and you really understand them and you care about their growth. So
absolutely.
That's really important.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, it shows, of course, just through, you know, the Atlanta market. You know, when we understand kind of where their direction, what their vision is, it really helps us to make sure we find the right match for them.
That's huge. Well, how can our listeners, companies, or people that want to be employed reach out to you guys, learn more?
Yeah, so of course, our website is us.ronstadt.com, and it has all the information both for our employees. So, of course, for job seekers going out there and looking to find what opportunities are out there, you can search for any jobs around the country, but also for employers to see what we do, how we do it, and of course, shares our mission and our value to know, serve, to trust. So, that's very important to us.
Well, thank you so much for being on.
No, thank you, Kevin. Great to see you.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Peggy Riley and Angela Watt, licensed counselors and directors of The Sage Center. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you guys were sitting there patiently, laughing all the right places. So I saw you taking some notes. But tell me a little bit about what you guys do over at The Sage Center.
Well, I'm Peggy Riley. I'm a licensed professional counselor and co-founder and co-director of Sage Center Counseling, Consulting, and Creative Community Wellness. I've been practicing for 18 years as a counselor. I also teach in a master's counseling program, so I teach master's level counseling students, and also provide clinical supervision and mentoring to beginning level counselors.
You just do it all.
Yes, I could go on and on. And I've done that for about 12 years. And
yeah. And I'm Angela Watton. I'm a licensed associate professional counselor and also a co-founder and co-director at Sage Center. I'm also a breathwork coach and a grief recovery specialist, and I've been in the mental health field for over 8 years, with my experience starting out in the Peace Corps in Honduras and working with children and families. And then when I moved back to Atlanta and started working in hospice, that's where I met Miss Peggy Riley.
Wow, you guys cover the spectrum right there.
Yes.
So what made you guys sort of go out there and decide, you know what, we have great jobs and we're doing great things in the world, but we want to start our own center? How did that come about?
That's a great question.
It is.
It's a long story. No, it's actually, excuse me, because Angela and I have worked together in a lot of different capacities, this is an idea that we've been really working on and kind of thinking about and incubating for a lot of years. So one of the things that we wanted to do when we developed Sage Center is to really maximize the services that we could provide, really expand services. Mm-hmm. in the community that we were serving. So we're both counselors. We love counseling as a profession. We really feel strongly about how important counseling can be and how beneficial counseling can be. So we're really passionate about that. But we wanted to do something where we could work collaboratively mm-hmm. among counselors. So we started with the idea of bringing counselors together who maybe have different areas of focus and okay. areas of expertise, offer different approaches and different specialty areas in counseling. And the idea was we could learn from each other as counselors, but we also wanted to be able to provide this variety of services to our clients as well, and kind of moving away from the idea, the traditional model of counseling where one client works with one counselor and really can only receive what that one counselor has to offer. So, you know, and that's great. It works yeah. really well. I've done it that way for a long, long time and for many years. But in some cases, what we know is, you know, you're working with a client and you know that that client could really benefit from doing something in addition. Yeah. So what our idea was that we would all come together and, you know, bring counselors together who were doing some different things, and then we could collaborate with each other so that we could provide those kind of expanded services and variety of services to our clients. So,
wow. Well, tell me a little bit about Sage Center in itself. Just dig deep and tell people what it's about.
Well, it's a counseling center, obviously. So it's a counseling mm-hmm. center. So we provide counseling, psychotherapy support. We work with adults and children. We work with individuals and couples and families. But also, another thing that I think was really important over time as we were yeah. kind of coming up with these ideas is we also wanted to create an environment and a workspace that we felt like matched our philosophy of counseling as well. So Sage Center is a really beautiful space.
Well, it sounds like, and just the feeling I get from meeting both of you, is just it feels like it's a safe place. Normally when you think about counseling, it's got sort of a negative connotation on it where, oh, you have to go to counseling. But this seems like it's a safe space. Talk about the space a little bit.
Thank you for asking about that. I want to speak to that, too, because another thing that we wanted to do was to demystify the thought about what counseling is, whereas mm-hmm. some people yeah. know what it is, what the value of it is, and that it's not just a scary place to
exactly.
go. There are many that do think it's scary. Mm-hmm. There are many that don't know anyone else that has done it. And so by providing a space that we do a lot of collaborative work, we get to network with other people in the community, and they put a face to the center.
Definitely.
Just like what you do here.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
definitely.
You get to know the personality behind the business. And so you say, okay, well, maybe it's not that scary. and the atmosphere is wonderful. You know, don't want to toot our own horn, but...
Go for it.
no, when people walk in and when we walk in, it's just a calm, relaxing environment. And that's important for someone to feel when you're going into a counseling center.
Definitely.
And speaking of that, we have a networking event on next Friday, June 13th.
Okay.
And it's a great way for other professionals to meet people in the community. We also promote other business professionals. So there'll be three people there that will be promoting their own businesses. Melissa Owens from Mad Melly's. She makes her own essential oil products.
Okay.
We have somebody doing sound therapy named Daniel Bastacki. And we have another lady named Kanae Quarter. She's an author. And so they're coming to promote their ideas so we can all come together.
Well, I love yeah. that, too. And it seems like it's a very collaborative space. And you guys want to really just lift everyone up, even though they're in the same industry. You're like, hey, let's help everyone
yes,
up and
absolutely.
Everyone get a word out about everyone. So what makes you guys unique? I know there's other centers out there that people are going to for similar services. But what sets you guys apart?
Well, we're very humble, but no, I'm just kidding. well, I think, and we spoke on many of those topics, but just the idea of having, counselors there, but also people that work collaboratively in the environment, people that do Reiki, that do massage,
yeah.
that do yoga therapy. We also provide education in the community and also for other therapists. We provide continuing education units for other therapists. We provide... an environment for other professionals to come and to meet each other and, you know, as was mentioned earlier, where Atlanta is such a huge community, and there's so many wonderful businesses, and you don't know of them because you go to work and you go home and you go to work and go home. And so Sage Center was created to also have parties, so we can meet other people in the community and, you know, share our ideas.
Well, speaking of community, it sounds like you guys are really building a culture and community of people that are like-minded, that believe in wellness of body and mind, mm-hmm. and can come together and really just trade best practices.
Yeah.
That's true, and you were asking what makes us different and what makes us unique, and we keep coming back to this collaborative idea. But I think that, and what a lot of people don't know, and Angela was talking about demystifying counseling a little bit, but a lot of counseling does take place in this really sort of isolated format in an isolated environment. So the idea of collaborating services really is pretty different. Mm-hmm. So usually I think that, you know, people tend to be pretty isolated when they're doing that. So the idea for us is we thought, gosh, you know, not only do we want to collaborate with each other and we want to make those opportunities available for other professionals, but it's a little bit of a different idea to have when a counselor is working with a client, it's just one person working with one person.
Yeah.
So the idea that we may, like, for instance, one of Angela's specialties is grief recovery. Mm-hmm. One of my specialties is working with trauma. So, for instance, maybe say Angela is working with a client who's come to her for some kind of, you know, grief recovery work. And over time, Angela realizes,
some trauma.
Right. There may be some significant trauma, which is, you know, something that commonly occurs. And so I'm trained and certified in something called EMDR, which sounds very mysterious. It stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. But it's actually, it's a really, really useful tool in working with trauma and helping people resolve trauma. So say in that example, Angela may say, you know, I'm doing this grief recovery work, and this is really great, but I know that
this
is a client.
She's got this block right here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know this client could really, you know, benefit from some EMDR. And so sort of in a traditional model, you kind of have to refer someone out. But what mm-hmm. we'll do is work together. So the client can stay in their primary relationship. Relationship is so important with therapists.
Is.
So the client stays with Angela, but the client can come to me and do some EMDR to get some of the trauma resolved while she's continuing to work with Angela on her grief recovery, or vice versa. I have several clients that I've been working with on a variety of issues that I have referred to Angela for doing some breath work, which is another thing that Angela does. Yeah.
Well, I think that's huge right there. And you bring up a great point that if you go to any other counselor and they refer you, you got to go to a different office, you got to learn a different routine, and you got to meet a new person, which is scary. But being able to come into the same center and get to really know everyone, I have a feeling it's like a family there, and you get to know everyone and they get to know your name. I think that that's hugely important. I don't have to change my routine. I know where the building is. I can go there, and I'm still getting fixed and worked on, but it doesn't feel inhuman. It feels very like you guys care about me and you guys are taking care of me.
Yes, and I think that's also a good point. There's a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. So if a client is working with a therapist and there's a lot of trust in the relationship, if that therapist says, hey, the person in the office next door is someone that I know and I trust, then I think that's important for the client as well.
Definitely. So let's go just through all the different – I know you mentioned briefly, but the different services that you offer for people. And do people just come for different stuff? I know you mentioned you had Reiki, so I'm sure people come weekly for different Reiki sessions mm-hmm. to get blocked chakras out and all that.
you know something of it, Kevin.
I do. My stepmom, I grew up in that environment. So what other services do you guys offer for this?
Yeah. So I provide counseling, but I also do something that Peggy mentioned is grief recovery and breath work. And grief recovery is a structured type of therapy where they're coming in for grief and loss issues. So if someone is not coming in and they like doing things outside of therapy, which generally that's where therapy happens, outside of therapy, but there's structured formats, there's homework they take home, and there's a start and end. Some people feel relief in 10 sessions. Some people, you know, want to continue to come as maintenance. And in breath work, we go into the womb before, you know, the pre-verbal experiences, childhood experiences, and how those experiences have affected our thought patterns today. So those are some of the things that I do. And Peggy.
Yeah, and like I said, I work a lot with trauma. Actually, I work with a pretty broad spectrum. So I work with people in a lot of different situations and different presenting issues. Like I said, two particular areas of interest for me are working with trauma. So I work a lot with trauma, use EMDR, have used that for a lot of years, and it's a pretty amazing thing to see unfold in therapy. People get very, very stuck in trauma.
Yeah.
So to have a tool that helps facilitate movement and healing in trauma is really,
definitely,
really essential. But I also, and I also work with grief and loss. I've been working with grief and loss for a long time in my practice. But see a lot of depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
So those are things that are typical. Also work with people with relationship issues, how they relate to other people, but also mm-hmm. how they relate to themselves, which is pretty key. And the other thing, another area of focus for me is working on personal growth and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So I have quite a few clients who are coming to therapy, not because they have a problem necessarily or symptoms necessarily, but because they really want to be as healthy and as well as they can be. And that's, I really like that too. That's a
definitely
really good interest for me. But you had asked about the other things that we're doing, and I think it's important to say, first of all, Sage Center has been in operation for a year and a half. So
congrats. You got past that hump.
Yes. Thank you. But we still feel very new. We have a lot of ideas that we're working on and growing. So we hope to keep growing and keep expanding. But one of those areas that we were talking about is collaborating, like you said, with other wellness professionals. So people who are experts in not counseling, but other things that are wellness related, like the Reiki and the massage. So we're constantly talking with people, making new relationships with people, and seeing how we can work together. Talk to a music therapist, mm-hmm. and so we really are reaching out and trying to be as broadly connected as we can. And also some spiritually based healing therapies. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to some folks who do something called soul-focused healing.
Okay.
And also the Reiki energy is also, energy therapy is also kind of a spiritually based. So just looking to really connect with as many people as we can, find good matches for the center, but also ultimately to serve our clients.
Well, I have to imagine that you guys have some great stories, success stories. Would you like to share any of those with us? Just no names or anything, but just success stories of some of your clients?
Do you have a story? Well, actually, when Peggy was describing the situation earlier about a client working with me, and I referred her to EMDR
mm-hmm.
with Peggy the first time I sat in the session with her, and she felt comfortable, and then mm-hmm. she continued to see Peggy afterwards for a few sessions, and she felt there was a block, but she couldn't get to it. Sometimes we can verbalize where something was amiss and maybe why.
Mine is a complicated thing.
Yeah. So. Well, there are people you can see for that.
Yeah.
Sage Center. You know, so she knew that there was something there, but she couldn't get to it. And so that's when I spoke with Peggy, and we collaborated together, and you know, it's been a year since she's been seen at the center, and her life has just dramatically changed. It almost brings me to tears because there was so little hope in the beginning. And just very proud of her.
Well, it's got to be great to see that aha moment with when you see someone realize the block and like, oh, that's the problem. And it's like everyone else could see it around them, but they had to look into themselves and find it themselves. That's got to be just got to be a lot of great work. You guys got to feel great getting up in the morning.
Well, and that's why I love this work, is because not, you know, we're supporting other people, but in these relationships, you're constantly looking at yourself and the relationships, and you have to support yourself to be in integrity to do this work. And that's what I love about this, because it's a constantly learning process. We learn from the people that are around us, and we learn from each other, and that's why
Definitely.
We love this.
Well, how do our listeners reach out to learn more, and go ahead and tell them about that event that it's going to happen, and what time and date and everything?
Okay. You want to talk about the events? Go ahead.
Sure. So next Friday from 3 to 6 at Sage Center at 2859 Henderson Mill Road. It's right near Mercer University, just around the corner. We have a networking event from 3 to 6. Anyone is welcome to attend. You can bring your promotional materials. It's very casual, fun. We have food. So we would love everyone to join us. And there's also, if you want to experience breath work, we have a group breath work session tonight at Sage Center. And
what time is that?
It's from 7 to 9 approximately. Oh. And again, it's a very comfortable environment. We introduce what breath work is. It's a very gentle tool to use if you're feeling stressed or feeling stuck. And you can look at what other things that we offer at www.sagecenteratlanta.com or call 770-458-4587.
Well, thank you guys.
Can I add
yes,
just one
definitely.
Thing? Yes, yeah, definitely. 770-458-4587 is the main number. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in the breathwork event or getting more information specific to breathwork, the number to call is 404-512-8184, and that will get you right to Angela so she can give you that information. But I also wanted to mention, too, that feel free. Oh, and you can also email us. We have a secure email at the website. So it's info@sagecenteratlanta.com. But also just to mention to people, if you're thinking about counseling or wondering if counseling might be the right thing for you to do, you're welcome to give us a call, and we're happy to talk to anyone and kind of help people make a decision. Is this the right thing for me at this time? We're happy to do that. We're very friendly people.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your stories with us.
Thank you for having us. Thank
All you. Right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have Kelly Redinger, realtor, and Rusty Willis, broker over at Real Living Capital City.
Thank you.
Welcome
Kevin.
To the show.
Good morning.
So tell me a little bit about Real Living Capital City and what you guys do over there.
Real Living Capital City, we're really excited about this because we are the first people to bring this brand to Atlanta.
Congratulations.
Thank you
I
very
much. Wish I had
much.
An applause button. I need to have been working on
it. And we're introducing it here on your show.
Thank you.
But we're very excited about it. Real Living is a division of the Berkshire Hathaway companies. And our particular company is a little cooler, a little more urban, at least we like to think so, and it's a little more geared toward the younger buyers. Not that that's all we do, but it's just we're paperless, we're trying to be a little more well-versed in technology and that type of thing. And we've got a great group of folks that work over at Real Living, and it's a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's great. So give me a little background about you guys and how you sort of got into this. I decided to start up this brand here.
Well, I think like most people in real estate, nobody goes into real estate on purpose. We all kind of stumble into it.
My parents were in real estate.
And they didn't get there on purpose. So I actually started my career about 20 years ago as an agent and then went to management. And right in the middle of the downturn, as things started to tighten up in the real estate market, what sometimes people don't realize is that a lot of the brands that you see signs in the yard are owned by single entities,
yeah.
or they're managed through a single entity, so franchisor. So as things started to tighten up in early 2007, kind of that corporate mentality began to really take over in the marketplace, and it pushed me out the door of where I was, simply because I wanted to be local. I wanted to focus on buyers and sellers and what their needs were. I didn't want to sell home warranties and mortgage products and
That feels more door-to-door instead of changing people's lives.
It's a distraction, in my opinion. So I left in 2010, and then we opened up Capital City Realty in October of 2010.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we did that, and so here we are in the middle of the downturn, and we always like to pride ourselves that we're one of the few real estate companies that has made money every month we've been open. So that's a huge thing in our industry. And then my partner and the owner of our company, David Wren, was doing a transaction, and Kelly.
Mm-hmm. I was his appraiser. Yes. Because I've been in the industry for 18 years and working in Atlanta, and I've been an appraiser for a long amount of time, which has really helped me as far as being
a
realtor,
imagine,
too.
I can imagine, definitely.
So I met David doing a site work, and he started telling me, I was telling him I was going to school to become a realtor because I had seen as an appraiser so many ineffective realtors who didn't know what they were doing. And I just thought to myself, hey, I can do this. I have a lot to offer. I've been working in this market for a long time. So David sold me on Real Living in Capital City, and I'm so glad he did and introduced me to Rusty.
Well, definitely. Well, I think you bring up a great point there, and that's the one good thing about the downturn. It got all those real estate agents. Well, you knew it back in the day during the boom. Your neighbor or your brother's friend, everyone had a real estate license. They weren't realtors, but they had a real estate license.
Right. They were selling cars yes. 6 months ago, and now yeah, they're exactly. selling real estate.
And it was really simple. You could even buy a house and flip it the next week for $2,000 more. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy market out there.
Yeah, what, we refer to those years, actually, as would you like fries with that realty? I mean, that's really what was going on. And you're right. The barrier to entry in our industry still is basically the ability to process oxygen.
Yeah.
And you can get a real estate license. And that was one of our big things when we started Real Living Capital City. We purchased a franchise back in January 1st, so we're a little newer than the Sage Center. But you know, our goal was to have agents that were focused on buyers and sellers. They were in the business full time. They didn't have other distractions yeah. going on. And then one of the things that makes us different is the company itself, the support staff. We do a lion's share of all the administrative work, okay. the marketing work, so that the consumer is getting a very consistent result. You know, all the marketing pieces are in place, all the PR is in place, everything that has to happen so the agent can manage the relationship with the client. And that's really kind of where the rubber hits the road is how well is the agent communicating with the client. Does the client have everything they need? And in some cases, I'm sure y'all can attest to this, can we help them?
Yeah.
So we don't do, you know, we evaluate very quickly when we're dealing with buyers or sellers as can we actually help this person achieve what it is they're saying they want. And if we can't, we're not going to engage that.
I know that you are probably aware, or maybe you're not, that a lot of realtors' MO is simply to tell the client what they want to hear.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to get a listing. But we don't operate that way. I mean, I have found that if you're honest with people, you tell them really what the market is like, you give them the reality, most people generally come around and agree with you, and it's not something
well, because they don't know. How many houses do you buy in a lifetime? So how many transactions do you go through? I'm following you along because I think you're the expert in this.
Exactly.
Right, and everyone is very well versed in what they do for a living. But real estate is what we do. And we're there to help and be your trusted advisor, your skilled negotiator, and assist you with this process. It's buying a home, like you said, you don't do it very often. And it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. It's a huge investment. And, I mean, these people are putting their lives, this is their livelihood and their lives into this house. They're imagining the future. They're imagining the deck they're going to build, imagining having kids or this or that.
Exactly.
So.
And we do internally, we think, you know, sometimes people spend more time picking a wedding cake than they do picking a real estate agent. And it's like, you know.
That's a really good, I like that analogy.
I mean, as a consumer.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, as a consumer, we're out talking to people. We encourage you to talk to multiple agents, talk to multiple brokers. But as a buyer or a seller, you're going to want to do your due diligence, really investigate the agent, make sure that there's somebody that you can communicate with, that you have some kind of your relationship with, investigate the brokerage. Who mm-hmm. are they? What do they do? What do they believe? And really look at what do they tell their agents. So, you know, we're very, very different. And I think sometimes the consumer tries to commoditize what we do. But it's really different one agent to another, sometimes even within the same brand.
Yeah.
So really do, as a consumer, you need to look at that.
And you need, as a consumer, you need to work with someone, obviously, that you're comfortable with because you are going to be a big part of that person's life as the realtor for the next few months. You're going to be talking several times a day. You're going to be emailing. You're going to be emotional. So it's very important to get someone that you are comfortable with. That's a big part of it.
Definitely. Also, you guys are the gatekeepers for everything else in the housing industry. I mean, for an inspector. I mean, how mm-hmm. important it is for your realtor to know a great inspector, because when they go and inspect the house, I mean, this is basically you finding out what's wrong with it, if things are going to be wrong in 20 years, if the foundation's good. That's huge. I'm sure you guys know you're the gatekeepers for anyone. I mean, I have to think, if right. I had a house and I bought it for my realtor and I said, oh, I need a good new roofer, I'm going to call my realtor and be like, hey, right. you know, the roof, it's leaking a little bit. Do you know a good roofer? But it becomes a lifelong, really, relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've got lists and lists and lists of people that our previous clients have used that they've recommended, that we've had good experiences
that we've
with,
used
that
too.
We've used. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a great painter if anybody needs one. And you're right, Kevin. The idea is that if you need something around your house, that the first person you should probably consider is the person that you worked with when you bought it. You know, that, and so, and that sometimes gets lost. And there is a statistic out of the National Association of Realtors that 70% of people who bought a house would use the same agent again. They just can't find them. So,
wow. Yeah.
So again, it's kind of where we're a little different. When we always believe we're in the relationship business that happens to be centered around real estate. So, you know, if you need a roofer or a painter or, you know, home cleaner, we can help you out with those kinds of things.
So what, I know we've mentioned a few things, but what really sets you guys apart? Because there's so many different people and there's so much different information out there, and there's the big people like Keller Williams, and you see all these signs everywhere for buying houses. What sets you guys apart from all these bigger people? Well, I'm not say bigger, but here in the Atlanta market.
Well, what I would say is that, I don't know if Rusty likes when I say this, I say that our company is very agent-centered.
That's
and
huge.
A lot of companies say that, but I have friends. I've been in the business a long time. I have friends that work at almost every agency. And guess who they call when they can't talk to their broker and they have a question? They call me and they say, Kelly, will you ask Rusty so-and-so? Or, you know, because they can't get to their broker.
Yeah.
You know, I just think I'm extremely lucky to be where I am, because everybody works there as a team. You have administrative people, you have management people, I have someone who will go take my pictures. I'm not paying for lock boxes or signs or paper or anything like that. I'm not nickel and dime to death. And the support is there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we're glad Kelly's there with us. You know, say what really sets us apart is we focus on the core business. It's helping people buy and sell houses, but doing it completely the right way.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean that the marketing pieces are in place. What you expect as the consumer, you actually get. And then really, there's a whole slew of laws and rules that kind of govern around what we do. And a lot of people don't realize that agents are different than realtors. Yep. So a realtor is, you know, a member of the National Association of Realtors through a local board. It's a little higher standard. So I like to say that, you know, you would not go to a doctor that's not a member of the American Medical Association.
Yeah.
You know, don't hire an agent that's not a realtor. Just don't do that. But really what sets us apart is making sure that the consumer's needs come first. I'm sure you, as driving around town, you've seen lots of signs that say coming soon and coming soon. And that's a reflection of just of the short inventory in the marketplace. You know, the number of units that are on the market in the city is actually down year from year, but you still see a lot of these signs coming soon. Well, what that means is I'm an agent. I took this listing and I want to sell it myself.
Okay.
You know, that's really what that means. And what the seller doesn't realize is that their home may not have been fully exposed to the marketplace ahead of the contract that they received or the offer they received. Mm-hmm. So even internally, when we're taking listings, you know, we let our sellers know, you know, we're going to bring this to the marketplace, but we're going to expose it, and we're going to give, you know, a couple of days at least for our marketing efforts to really get out there to attract the most qualified buyers, you know, multiple buyers, plural, that we can, versus trying to keep it in-house and coming soon and see if somebody calls us off the sign and getting rid of it. It creates some other additional problems for us in the field when that's occurring. And, you know, Kelly can address that from an appraisal standpoint. But really, it's making sure that we do business the right way and we stay really focused on the consumer. And then I believe that my consumer is my agent.
You know, okay. Yeah, definitely.
That's who I'm working with. And for the most part, agents are independent contractors. You know, they have a choice of where they can work. But we really stay focused on them. So like Kelly said, our business model is we're very, very generous. David will sometimes say, I'm too generous with the agents. But they're not charged desk fees. They're not charged copy fees. They're not charged, you know, $50 to come talk to me. So, you know, we're in counseling sometimes.
Yeah.
But we can't bill for that.
Yes, I have free counseling.
Send them over.
But, you know, one of the things that is interesting to me is that a lot of the bigger companies, they seem like they're in the business of obtaining agents because they charge agents for classes.
And that's where they're making their money.
They charge them desk fees, right.
And they don't care if they're selling houses or not.
Right, because that's their business model. But our business model, strangely enough, is to sell houses.
That's so weird.
I know. It is weird,
so
isn't it?
So when we brought Real Living into town, when I started investigating a larger brand to help us out with just some real world issues, technology, relocation, those kinds of things. Real Living, really, their core philosophy matched ours. It was the closest.
So
we talked to a lot of national brands, and it's a great look. It's a great brand. Our office, probably like the Sage Center, it's very contemporary. It's very, very open. We don't have so much as a file cabinet. So everything we do is paperless and really makes it very seamless for the consumer. We can get things to you. You can get things back. Everything's executed, you know, correctly. And I do a lot of auditing on the background to make sure that our buyers and sellers are protected. So, you know, our agents really have the best of all things. So, and you know, right now across the country, the national age of the average real estate agent is 56 years old.
Okay.
And only about 3% of people who have a real estate license now are under 30. So it's an interesting time in our business trying to attract some of that millennial generation and some younger folks into the business on purpose.
You know,
I always laugh. Like I said earlier, we get into it by accident. But you know, working with somebody who says I'm gonna pursue this as a career, not as a job in between my cashier job and my hauling dog food somewhere. So it's that's what we're looking for now. So what's making us different is trying to attract the people who are taking it very, very seriously and want to do it the right way.
I love that right there. Well, let's walk me through just someone comes to you, they want to buy a house. Walk me through that experience. Just how does that work with you guys?
Well, first of all, we sit down with them personally, one-on-one, and we find out a little bit about them, what they're looking for, what their needs are financially, where they stand. Have they talked to a loan officer yet? We need to get all that done and make sure before we go out and look that, you know, they can afford what they want and we can guide them down the right path. Most of the time, you know, everybody wants everything. I know I do too. You know, you want the cheapest house with, you know, 6 bedrooms and a pool and, you know.
And I want it in Buckhead.
Yes, so. It has to be in Buckhead. So there is that period, you know, is a learning experience for both of us. I'm learning what they want and they're learning from me that what is available and what is out there, for what you can get for a certain amount of money.
Yeah. And you always have to make concessions one way or the other. So
that's what they learn too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Kelly's saying, we really dig into what the person, who they are, how they live, what it is they're looking for, mm-hmm. and try to help them understand that buying a home is really a really emotional experience. And it can be pretty stressful. So we try to manage some of those expectations and make sure on track. We have shelter lending services in our office. They're not a joint venture. They're not, you know, they're just there to help us out. And they've done a really, really good job of helping people understand that, you know, most of the time when you come in to buy a house, you think I can afford to spend $350. And we approach it a little differently. We say, okay, what do you want your housing budget to be? Let's work backwards to that price. Let's not just think, oh, I can do this. So if you want to keep your mortgage, your payment, your taxes, insurance, all that kind of stuff at, you know, let's say $1,500 a month, then what should we be looking for? What's the most you can afford to spend? You know, we don't want to approach it with
well, that's why we got in so much trouble before. So.
Exactly. And you know, things are changing. Kelly can tell you that the just price is really a moment in time. So the best time to have bought a house in Atlanta was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and the second best time is now. Because prices are coming up with units going down.
Yeah, mortgage rates are starting to rise a little bit.
Not too much. But it really is a seller's market right now because as demand has increased, there are not a lot of properties on the market. So properties are selling very quickly, especially in some of the more desirable neighborhoods. And they're getting multiple offers. And sometimes the sales price is going above the list price.
Wow.
Yeah, yes.
But people are competing over it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the sales prices have jumped in the city 13% since January. So there's been a huge upturn. We started to see a little bit of improvement in 2012. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't those things kind of bounced along the bottom price-wise. And then really it's been this year that we're seeing some pretty good appreciation there. And probably expecting a good full recovery somewhere in 2015 is what I'm guessing.
Sounds great.
But it's not the extreme highs and lows that we saw before. It's a nice little recovery that will slowly get us where we need to be.
Well, exactly. Well, it was like we mentioned earlier, it got crazy there for a little bit. For 7 years, it got crazy, and they were just building so many houses, and you could sell anything. So we went a little crazy there, and now we're getting it back to the norm.
Well, you could get a loan on anything.
Actually,
and anybody could get a loan.
And then that's where you had people extending themselves where they had a McDonald's budget, and they wanted to go have a folk.
Yep. Yes. You get money to do it. Here's some money to buy houses.
Go do it. Yep. All right. Well, how do our listeners reach out, contact you guys if they want to list a house or if they want to buy a house?
Well, our office is at Sage Hill Shopping Center, 1799 Briarcliff Road. Most people
I like
know,
the Sage theme. We set that
Sage,
up.
We're on a theme. We're on a theme. Most people know it. We're next to the two-story Kroger on Briarcliff. Most people know where that is. We're there pretty much all the time. You can find us online at www.capitalcityrealtyatlanta or Real Living Capital City, or if it's easier for you, just ccratl.com.
Or you can call me directly.
You can call Kelly.
She's
call
brave.
Me 770-235-9861.
And if somebody's interested in, you know, in a career in real estate, just they can email careers@realliving.cc.com. Or just give me a call at the office, 404-874-9094.
And he'll actually pick up the phone and have a conversation
with you. We will actually pick up the phone.
Well, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.